Once again, I want to greet you all in the blessed name of our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus, especially to those who are here for the first time. I understand there are two from Penang. Welcome. On the first reading of this text in Proverbs 7, please keep your Bibles open to that because we are going to refer to it from time to time during this time of meditation. We can very quickly conclude that this chapter is teaching about lust, teaching about adultery, and that we may quite quickly conclude that this is a warning, particularly for the men, to take note. And while preparing this passage or this sermon, there's one Chinese proverb that came to mind, and it goes something like this. 英雄难过美人关. Well, of course, for the benefit of those who do not know Chinese, the meaning is simply something like that, not the exact word. Hero has great difficulty to overcome the seduction of a beautiful woman. And that's a Chinese saying. Well, this is very true, isn't it? Not only in our 21st century, but even in ancient times, great men, warriors, many great men in different places, at different times, and one of whom you are all very familiar with, and you know very well from the Bible, his name is Samson, even he fell at the deadly seduction of a woman. The man, so weak, isn't it? So is this passage a wake-up call only for the men, so that our ladies here can switch off, relax, don't have to pay much attention? After all, this is for the men to take note. They are one who are so prone. We ladies have no problem. God forbid. I submit to you that there are spiritual lessons for all of us to take note, to take heed, and be forewarned. I'm sure you will agree with me, there are spiritual lessons, as I mentioned before, in our study of this book of Proverbs. There are spiritual lessons here for each one of us to take note, whether men or women, young or old. And it is not repetitious to repeat that this book of Proverbs is not a book of morals, but a book written by the Holy Spirit to show us the way to life eternal in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is His instruction for us, His people, to take heed, to know how we ought to live our lives as believers while we are here on this pilgrim journey. Of all the people that ever lived on this earth, Solomon arguably would be the most appropriate person to write on this subject of the lust of the flesh and adultery, after his father David, who himself at one point, as you know, at one point of his life was nearly destroyed by the sin of lust that leads to adultery, if not for the mercy and grace of God. Solomon, as you all know, with all the wisdom that God had bestowed upon him, yet even he could not escape the seduction and the lure of the lust of the flesh. And so we do well, brothers and sisters in Christ, to take heed of what he is going to tell us in this book of Proverbs. Perhaps at this stage of his life, Solomon looks back on his own life, and having seen so many hopeful young men like himself ruined by those lusts, perhaps at this stage he felt that it is very needful for him, having all this experience in life, and right now inspired by the Holy Spirit, to write this teaching for the benefits of the next posterity, that they might not fall into the same sin that has so shamefully destroyed so many individuals, even their families. We see in this chapter, chapter 7, three main characters here, namely the wise father from verses 1 to 6. And then we see the son, who is described as a young man, young, void of understanding in verse 7. And then, of course, we have the seducer, the woman, verse 10. Let us look at the characteristics of the young, or you want to call him the simple-minded. Of course, here, I want to stress that this is not directing only at the young man and the simple-minded. Spiritually speaking, there are those who are young in faith. You may be in your 50s, 60s, 70s. If you are a young believer, this is also for you because, according to Scripture, you are considered to be young in faith. Immature, though you may be mature in your physical age. My first point or main point is this. Simplicity or simple-mindedness is an element of the young. They are the one who is most prone. Being young is like having pimples. It comes with adolescence, isn't it? Almost unconsciously, we regard the simple as those who are young. Several proverbs, as we have read, suggest by their parallelism that being young is nearly synonymous with being simple-minded. You see this parallelism in example, Proverbs 1, verse 4, Proverbs 7, verse 7. If simplicity or being simple-minded is a melody, not melody, it's melody, M-A-L-A-D-Y, of the young, there are several implications to this truth which you and I ought to take note. Number one, being simple is not a sin, but a phase in one's growth towards maturity. We all can agree to that, isn't it? Every one of us, especially those of us who are older, we have our days of pimples too. But now it's gone. Everyone goes through that stage of being simple, just as all go through the stage of adolescence. It is not a sin to be simple, just as it is not a sin to be immature. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul was writing to the carnal Christian, or the carnal saints. When they were first converted, these saints were described by Paul as carnal, as babes. 1 Corinthians 3:1. As such, they could only handle what? They could only handle milk. They cannot take in the solid meat, the solid food. There is no condemnation in that passage or for this stage of immaturity because nothing more can be expected of them, of the simple-minded. You don't expect them to react or to think or to behave like those who are matured. But Paul was writing to them after a considerable time had passed. Their immaturity had become carnal, willful, ignorance, and immaturity. While it is not wrong to be flashy, that is to be babes, it is sin to be fleshly, to be carnal. What begins as immaturity can become carnality. As a rule, those who are simple, as described in Proverbs, are simply immature. Secondly, simplicity or simple-mindedness is a stage in one's growth. But one, take note of this, one cannot remain simple just as one cannot remain an adolescent. This is not true. As the Corinthian babes had to mature or else they become willfully carnal, so the simple must decide to become wise or he will become a fool because it is a phase of life. Simplicity or simple-mindedness passes and grows into something else. No one can stay simple. Thirdly, simplicity is not remedied by time, but by choice. I repeat, simplicity or simple-mindedness is not remedied by time, but by choice. The Son here is being taught by the Father in chapter 1, in fact, of Proverbs. And I believe simple there, but he's taught by the Father. And I believe the Son is considered simple because of his immaturity. But his Father is fully aware that his Son, and may I add here daughter too, must make a choice. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, we who are in the Lord must make a choice. We must make a choice either to walk in the way of the wise, that is to follow the word of God, or to follow evil men or wicked women in the paths of folly. This change will not be brought about by the passing of time. It will be brought about by a conscious decision. Wisdom does not evolve. It is not a product of time and chance. It comes from a resolve to forsake folly and to pursue wisdom as a precious treasure. You and I have to make that choice. Fourthly, while simplicity or simple-mindedness is normally a malady of the young, every age has its pitfall. This is usually true of the older. In fact, it is very true. Those of us who are older will always consider the young as, well, they don't know anything. They are immature. They are greenhorn. I know better after all. I've taken more salt than them and taking rice. But do not think that once, for the older one, do not think that once you have passed through those pitfalls of the young or the youth, all dangers have passed. It is not true. Madam Folly has in her bag all kinds of tricks and temptation to throw at us at all age. Paul warns Timothy about the danger of youthfulness in 1 Timothy 4:12, 1 Timothy 5 verses 1 to 2, 1 Timothy 6:11. But he, Paul, has also instruction for the older saints as well. Titus 2 verses 2 to 5. We all will never outgrow temptation. Simplicity, however, thus seems to be the malady of the young. Fifthly, simplicity is a condition fraught with danger. The simple-minded face great danger as a result of three contributing factors. Number one, the simple are deficient in some essential areas. What are the areas? Firstly, they lack wisdom. Psalm 19, verse 7. Secondly, they lack knowledge and discretion. Proverbs 1, 4. They also lack understanding. Psalm 119, verse 130, and Proverbs 7, verse 7, Proverbs 9, 4, and 16. Beyond this, those who are simple lack the ability to critically analyze what others tell them. In other words, they are gullible. And many of us, even the older ones, are spiritually gullible. Proverbs 14 verse 15 says this, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." Proverbs 22:3, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." The second contributing factor is this. The simple, like all fallen mankind, are inclined toward evil and not toward what is good and righteous. While the simple or the simple-minded are ignorant and inexperienced, they are also inclined toward folly. In a sense, they are spiritually accident-prone. They tend toward what is harmful and destructive. Left to themselves, the simple-minded will not become wise, but will stumble into folly and disaster. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Proverbs 1:32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Proverbs 1:32. The third factor is this. The simple are often the target of those who are evil and unscrupulous. How true, isn't it? If you want to cheat and be a con man, who will you cheat? Of course, you will prey on those who are simple-minded, immature, greenhorn. In nature, wild animals often pursue their young offspring of their prey because of their naivety and vulnerability. They have little sense of danger and are easily deceived or lured into danger. So too in human nature. As I said, a con artist will make it his business to identify the gullible and to profit from his or her naivety. The simple are often the victims of evil men and women who know that the simple are vulnerable. It is for this reason that right now the father, who is very wise, warns the son about the solicitation of greedy and violent men. Verses chapter 1 of Proverbs, verses 10 to 19. The adulterous woman particularly seek out the naive. Thus, while the simple tend to wander towards disaster, it aggressively pursue them as well. That is the characteristic of those who are simple or simple-minded. Sixthly, simplicity, while a dangerous malady, is not incurable. There is hope for the simple, there is hope for the simple-minded. For not all who are simple succumb to the wiles of Madam Folly. Since simplicity is a phase of life in the normal growth and development of a young person, it is one that every wise man and woman has passed through. And those of us who are older, by the grace of God, we have passed through that phase of our life successfully. Simplicity is something like Vanity Fair in Pilgrim's Progress. Every pilgrim must pass through it. And while some will succumb to its temptation, others will pass through it and be stronger for the experience. Thank God for that. While Madam Folly seeks to lead astray those who are simple, as we see in this chapter, here we have Dame Wisdom, not Sir Wisdom, but Dame, also calls to the simple. Wisdom calls to the simple, warning the simple of the danger ahead and urging them to turn from folly and to seek wisdom. The solution for the simple is this: to turn from folly, to reject wicked men and to refuse evil women, and to pursue wisdom. There is hope for the simple or the simple-minded. They need not learn. Those of us who are simple need not learn by personal failure, for they can be instructed by the sinful choices of others. Proverbs 19, verse 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Proverbs 21:11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Furthermore, we who are in the Lord are fully assured that the Lord will or does not sit idle by as the simple-minded are being seduced. For those who fear the Lord, those who seek the Lord or seek wisdom, there is protection. Psalm 116 verse 6 says this, "The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me." While the Lord may directly intervene for the preservation of the simple or the simple-minded, the Scripture, the Word of God, our Bible, are His primary means of protection. Let us remember this. It is the Word of God that is our mainstay to protect us from all the wiles of the devil. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 19 verse 7. The entrance of thy words, giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119 verse 130. So, brothers and sisters, those who are simple-minded, those who are young in faith, we are not without help. Beside His Word, we have the Holy Spirit. Look at Proverbs 7 verses 1 to 5. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thy eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy king's woman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. While the simple faces many dangers, they are not left to fend for themselves. Wisdom calls out to them with the words of warning and direct them to the way of escape. The Scriptures are provided to make them wise, and God Himself preserves the simple-minded who fear Him. The temptation which face the simple are no different. No different from those faced by others, and God has provided all of us who are His children a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that. Now, having considered the characteristics, six of them, of the simple, let us look at the seduction itself. Now, I call this the seduction of Mr. Simple. We have attempted to summarize the teaching of Proverbs concerning the simple. In Proverbs 7, Solomon drives home his point by dramatizing the seduction of one simple fellow by Madam Folly. Verses 1 to 5 of chapter 7 are the prologue, verses 6 to 23 the drama, and verses 24 to 27 the epilogue. We now concentrate on her victim, Mr. Simple. Several observations will serve to clarify the reason why Mr. Simple fall. The first observation is this. Mr. Simple did not fall because he was simple. Notice that while Mr. Simple fell, there were many others who were simple like him, but did not fall. Verse 7. Look at verse 7. Wisdom speaks of what she observed from her window. And I beheld among the simple, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Mr. Simple was one of a number of youths there, whom Dame Wisdom could correctly call simple. Wisdom focuses the attention on this young man because he, by his own waywardness, falls into sin. The point is this. It was he alone, and not all the youths mentioned there, who were simple, was seduced. The inference is very clear. Being simple is not the real problem. Being sinful is the problem. Mr. Simple did not fall, or did not have to fall. He fell because of his own wrong choices. It is these choices which we will look at more carefully. Number two, Mr. Simple was caught because he sought Madam Folly. In nature, there are some creatures which do not stop their prey, but simply let their victim come to them. This is the smarter one, isn't it? Don't need to spend that effort to go after you. Let you come. That is the wisest. That is the most shrewd. For example, some sea plant lure their prey toward them by appearing to be what they are not. So here, Madam Folly in chapter 7 does not stop her prey. She waits for him to come for her. When Madam Folly was a wanderer whose feet do not remain at the home, as we are told in verse 11, on this occasion at least she seems to be near her home. Verse 8 tells us that Mr. Simple was wandering about late at night, passing through the street corner near her. Verse 8. I do not think that Mr. Simple was near her house by accident, by the way. He wandered towards her, or towards her house, purposefully, knowing where she lived. There is this true story that I came to know of a man, an older man, who was at this rock concert, and he saw something. He witnessed something at the rock concert. There was a body of water there, nearby. And the man, this old man, indignantly declared that he was repulsed by the fact that a number of young people are bathing there naked. And do you know how he knew it? Well, he has been watching them for hours with his binoculars. You see? I think Mr. Simple knew about Madam Folly because she was the talk of the town. He lingered about her house because he wanted to get a better look at her, to see what sin really is. I doubt very much that Mr. Simple planned to sin, you may say that, or even wanted to initially. He may not have that intention to sin, but he was looking for a thrill. Incidentally, this is the typical situation of many of us, especially the immature, who tries to what? Who tries to get close to the flame as much as possible or as close as possible without getting burned. That's what we always try to do, isn't it? So often we hear young people ask, in effect, how far? How far can I go? At any time, when we seek to learn what the rules are, solely to come to as close to breaking them as we can, we are courting sin. This is what the young man was doing. Well, you may think that I have gone too far in what I have suggested. You will at least have to agree with me that if he did not actively seek Madam Folly, neither did he flee from her, isn't it? Many of us prefer to be pure, but would like to be propositioned first, before we say no. This is true of us. Thirdly, Mr. Simple was seduced, but not deceived. Mr. Simple was seduced but not deceived. We cannot know the intention of this young man as he wandered about in the dark hours of the night and the most dangerous of hours of the night. We do not know what his intention. What we do know is that he was not deceived by Madam Folly. This woman was cunning indeed, but not deceptive. Our text tells us she was dressed like a harlot. Verse 10. She was not an harlot, but an unfaithful wife. The reason she dressed like one was to appeal. Appeal to what she knew Mr. Simple was looking for. He was a truth seeker. So, Madam Foley, or this adulterous woman, appealed to that. If he was not sophisticated enough to see what she wanted, she would dress in such a way that he could not miss it. Her approach was far from subtle. She brazenly greeted him with a kiss, verse 13 tells us. Something a nice girl would never have considered doing to a stranger, isn't it? She told him she was married, in verse 19. Eager to drink the cup of love to the fullest, verse 18. She was anything but indirect. No matter how simple this young man was, he knew what she wanted. For whatever reason he ended up near her house, he could have and should have flee. Once her intention were made known to him, but he stayed. That's the problem. He stayed. He was seduced, but not deceived. And that's how Satan works. Fourthly, the sin of Mr. Simple was not sudden, but sequential. Suddenly he follows her, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stock. Mr. Simple made a very quick decision to follow Madam Foley, as it were to the slaughter. To Mr. Simple, the spice sheets of Madam Foley was like carrot dangling there before him, or before the ox. He goes into the slaughterhouse, fixing his attention only on those momentary pleasures offered by Madam Foley. Mr. Simple had no sense of danger ahead. He virtually pushed himself, or bulldozed himself, into his own destruction. While it is important to observe that Mr. Simple's decision was made on impulse, let us take note of this. It is also necessary to point out that it was but the last sequence of sinful decision finalizing what had already been set in motion. Just to illustrate, it's just like you and I deciding to buy a house. Buying a house, what? Involves a series of decisions and signings of papers. Or the first move, or the first thing that you do is to make a formal offer and sign it. And there is a contract to be signed by both parties. And finally, sometime later, there is the closing, when the papers were all finally signed and the transfer of the ownership of the house to the buyer. So there is a series of decisions and process before you finally take over the house, isn't it? So Mr. Simple here closed the deal with his decision in verse 22. He unwisely strolled about the town in the wrong place at the wrong time of the night. He was, as they say, looking for trouble, courting sin. When Madam Foley approached him and boldly propositioned him, he did nothing. He did not flee. She flattered him and he liked it. She enticed him and he pondered her proposition. She assured him that the night with her would be both sensual and safe, and he believed her. The point is this. None of us should ever willingly put ourselves in compromising position of having to make a decision with Madam Foley standing before us on a lonely street corner in the middle of the night. We ought to be very, very careful. Decisions made in these circumstances are exceedingly dangerous. Once we have determined to court sin, going as far as we can without getting caught, we are an easy prey for Madam Foley. How much easier it would be have been for Mr. Simple if he had decided to go home and go to bed and sleep rather than to stand on the corner of the street at the wee hour of the night. Of course, this is figuratively speaking. Verses 24 to 27 urge the simple to listen. To listen to the warning of wisdom and to turn from the path of Madam Folly. The end of that path, as we all know, is inevitably death and destruction. But why? Why is it that Mr. Simple made his way merrily down that path without any sense of danger? Why is that so? Was he so ignorant of danger, of the danger? Verse 25 provides us with a significant clue to this. Proverbs 7:25 says, "Let not thy heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths." The problem was in the heart of Mr. Simple, not his head. He has no problem up here, but he has a problem down here. It was not so much a decision of willful disobedience as one of default. He strayed into her path. Verses 1 to 5 of chapter 7 teaches us that while Mr. Simple fell due to a deliberate choice, the sequence of sinful choices begins with what? His neglect of wisdom. And that is the word of God. Take a closer look at those verses in chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. This wise father urged his son to diligently pursue wisdom through conscientiously adhering to the teaching he had given him. The father persuade, urge, plead with the son. His commands, the father's commands should be treasured. His teaching should be carefully considered and guarded as what? As the apple of his eye. Verse 2. The teaching should not go in one ear and out the other ear, but it should be etched or sealed in our heart and frequently meditate upon. That is why this morning I stress and I'm stressing again. There is no escape for us, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you and I are to avoid sin, we need the Word of God. And the more time we spend on the Word of God, the wiser we will be. And with the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us and who is with us, we have a way of escape. It's only those who are outside Christ, without the Holy Spirit, have no interest in the Word of God, and that's where they will go the way of destruction and death. But for those of us who are believers, we have hope and we have help. The first three verses of chapter 7 of Proverbs have much in common with Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. Please take note. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Verse 6. "And these words," the words of God, the laws of God, "which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Verse 8. "And thou shalt bind them," what? Bind the word of God, bind the law of God, "for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." This wise father has done exactly what Moses has instructed the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. He has taught the law of God to his son, and now he exhorts the son to make his teaching his own treasure, and to treasure it and to live it in obedience to it. It is much more than just adopting the faith of his father. It is coming to value the wisdom of God as the most precious possession in your life. Brothers and sisters, brethren, is this how we look at the Word of God? Is the Word of God the most precious, the most valuable to you? Or something else? Or something else that takes that place in your heart? The way to wisdom is not an academic exercise or pursuit, but a deep commitment and intimate relationship with the living God. Wisdom is to be viewed here, as we are told in Proverbs 7, as what? A sister. And I understand this term sister here in the same sense in which it is employed by the same writer, that is Solomon, in the Song of Songs. In Songs of Songs, Solomon in chapter 4, verse 9, 10, and 12, and chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, use this word, where his sister is referred to what? His bride and lover. So what Solomon is trying to bring out to us is this, that we ought to sort after wisdom like we are looking for our lover or an intimate friend. Wisdom have no casual relationship with those who would not be wise. Nor is she a stranger in the night, as is Madam Folly. This is the kind of relationship Madam or Dame Wisdom is offering to us. It is the preventive measure for us. The difference between Mr. Simple and the other simple youths mentioned in verse 7 is that he had chosen to disregard the word of God. His fall was the final outcome. And that is the same for you and me. If we have low regard or no regard for the word of God, and we carelessly re-meditate and search it, you can be sure you will not get anything out of it. It is just another book to you. Thus, while the fall of Mr. Simple seems to occur in verse 22, it really all began long before he failed to value wisdom and casually neglected it. Is this our situation? Here is a tragic truth in conclusion, but one that must be underscored. Mr. Simple did not fall because he was simple, but because he chose to neglect the truth of the Word of God and the wisdom of God. As Proverbs repeatedly informs us what? And I'm sure you have memorized it, and you can say it out very easily. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who fail to value the teachings of the Word of God set themselves on a course which inevitably will lead to destruction and death. That is the ultimate. The ultimate destruction is not immediately apparent. And that is the danger, brothers and sisters. Satan is very smart. He's not going to hold a play card in front of you. This is hell. He will hold before you something far more wonderful. He will paint you a picture of heaven so that to lure you, to trap you. He don't even have to come to you. All he needs to do is to bring it up and attract your attention. And if you choose to look at that picture rather than the Word of God, you will go for it. There, Proverbs 14 verse 12 tells us this. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14 verse 12. May I ask, which way are you on? Perhaps you have consoled yourself by thinking that you have not rejected Christ so much as you have chosen to delay a decision. For those of you who are outside of the kingdom of God, Maybe you have intended to think more about spiritual things, to consider the way of salvation, but you really have not gotten around it. The danger does not seem to be apparent to you now, just as it did not to Mr. Simple. But because of our indifference to the wisdom of God, which He has offered in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, you and I will become insensitive to the destruction which lies ahead. Such decision by defaults are both deadly and damning. Mr. Simple has shown us the folly of his way. Brethren, let us learn from Mr. Simple that sin frequently occurs sequentially. It doesn't come upon us suddenly most of the time. We caught sin and therefore we fall into sin. James 1 verse 13 to 35, verse 13 to 15 tells us this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See the sequence there? God warned the Israelites of old when they enter into the promised land. They will begin to enjoy the prosperity God will give to them. And they will become complacent. And they will begin to neglect their relationship with God. The book of Judges records numerous examples of how the people of God neglected their spiritual life when things were too comfortable. They neglect the word of God. And that is the first step in the downfall of any Christian or any believer. The neglect of God's word is the first step towards our downfall. The church at Ephesus has lost its what? Initial love of God. The saints there had not denied Him. But they have become complacent and has lost what? The fervor of their love, which resulted in spiritual decline. Some among us have already lost their first love for the Lord Jesus and His word. While the destructive result of this may not yet be evident now, you don't see it. They are, in my estimation, inevitable. It will come. Let us take heed. David did not make a snap decision with Bathsheba, though it may seem so. David was lying around the palace, basking in his success as a military leader, and while his army was fighting away in battle, in his absence. David should never have been lying around in bed, lazing around in the first place. He should have been fulfilling his obligation as Israel king and military commander. He should not have stayed at home in the first place. And that resulted him lusting after another man's wife. Probably even before this, David had grown cold in his walk with the Lord. His most fervent, passionate psalm were those written when? During his days of suffering and persecution under the cruel hand of Saul. But now things are going too well, far too well for him, far too comfortable. And that is why, in my personal opinion, sometimes it is good that God should send some tsunami, SARS, and earthquake, and diseases, and cause you to lose your job. It is good. That will bring us back to earth. And that will cause us to examine ourselves, to reflect how we have been walking with the Lord. When things are going well with us, everything is plain sailing, and that's where trouble starts. Usually the case. If you will be honest, as I must also, we should all admit that it is the tendency of our hearts, just like Mr. Simple, to wander away from God and to neglect His precious word. As the hymn writer puts it this way, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the one I love." Do we realize that the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are almost entirely, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are almost entirely devoted to extolling, raising up, or praising wisdom, and teaching the reader to pursue it as the most valuable treasure one can acquire. Diligence and discipline are required to obtain it. As I mentioned this morning, salvation indeed will not be given to us. Salvation, even if we will not gain salvation by the lifting of our finger, salvation indeed is offered to us freely. But after salvation, brothers and sisters in Christ, there is the diligence and the discipline. There is the fight. There is the race to be run. There is no two way about it. And therefore, Mr. Simple has reminded us that we are inclined not to regard wisdom as highly as we must. And oftentimes that is our downfall. Mr. Simple disregarded wisdom because it was not that valuable to him or important to him. We disregard the word of God and our relationship with God for the same reason. No one is willing to make the sacrifices wisdom requires without first regarding it as worth the effort. Do you and I regard the word of God most valuable? Do you prize the word of God highly and regard it as a matter of life and death? Let us beware of the seduction of the evil one. We are warned here not only of the lust of the flesh and of adultery, but also of spiritual adultery. When we go in the way of the world, when we follow the philosophy of the world, and that is spiritual adultery. It all starts with our neglect, a little neglect of the word of God, a little neglect of our quiet time, a little neglect of our private closet prayer, and that's where it all begins. And inevitably, that will lead to our downfall and destruction. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Your warning. We ask that You will help us. We plead for Your help and Your mercy. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Your Spirit to rest upon us, Thy people, in greater measure, that Thou will grant us that strength, that grace that we needed to press on. Lord, we know that oftentimes we are so cold, so dull and dead in our spiritual life, so little love and desire for Your holy word. We are drawn away, much overcome and occupied by the things of this world. O Father, we pray that You will turn us unto Thee. Help us to repent, to turn away from our sinful ways. Grant us a heart that is after Thy heart. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.